Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, at the end of another tumultuous week. Here on Press TV, every week at this time, I bring you the big conversation, the great debate. But it can only be a debate if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls on 44208601455, or you can SMS the show on 447800008066, or you can email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. If my voice is a little rough, I'm just off the airplane from the United States, where I was launching a radio show in New York and addressing a very large audience just off Central Park on the very subjects that we're going to, I suspect, be talking about tonight. Namely, the Saudi Arabian, so-called, invasion of Bahrain. Thousands of Saudi soldiers from the unfreest country on the earth, armed to the teeth by Britain and the United States, have invaded the small island state of Bahrain, wherein, of course, the US Fifth Fleet is already docked and thoroughly ensconced. You could argue, therefore, that Bahrain is currently, at least, no more. It is not an independent country. It is now in chains. Worse than being in chains, its sons and daughters, and some very young ones too, are being gunned down by Saudi Arabian snipers. I'll be asking you tonight what we intend to do about that. Are we going to stand by and watch the Bahraini people murdered in the streets? Bahrain, a country which until 1971 was governed by Britain and which for many decades afterwards, including, I would argue, up till today, is heavily dependent on Britain, not least in the banking sphere, where the Bank of England actually is in charge of its financial services industry. And that financial services industry is the basis of the wealth of the killers of Al Khalifa. That's the name of the royal dictatorship who've ruled Bahrain for 231 years. I told you last week, the Prime Minister of Bahrain has been in power since 1961. Before the Beatles were formed, and they're 40 years gone. We'll be asking, what can we do about this state of affairs? And as I speak to you in the Security Council in New York, where I was last night, the UK, US and France are lined up behind a resolution which effectively provides a green light, an international authorization for military attack on another Arab country, namely Libya. All that guff about a no-fly zone, well, the resolution goes far, far, far further than a no-fly zone. It permits US and UK and French planes, that's the three biggest colonial empires of the last 150 years, to bomb at will on the coast and on the people of Libya. Of course, they won't bomb the oil installations because that's what they're principally interested in. At the same time, the Gaddafi army is rolling apparently remorselessly towards Benghazi, where a million people who reject the rule of the Libyan dictator are waiting and are living and, let's hope, are not going to be dying there. There has to be some possibility of some political solution from the Arab world to this state of affairs. At the very least, Arabs should be crossing the Egyptian and Tunisian borders to come to the aid of the revolutionaries in Libya. None of their governments have any right to do so because, well, even in Tunisia and Egypt, they're not democracies yet. It goes without saying that these are my personal views. They are not the views of Press TV. They're certainly not the views of the government of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Moreover, if you have a different view, then yours is the call that I want to hear most. Because I want it to be a conversation, but even more, I want it to be a debate. Let's go all the way to Malaysia and talk to our first woman caller, Nina from Malaysia. Nina, welcome to the show.
Yes, hi, George. Hi, George.
Tell me, how do you see the situation in Bahrain? Do you see it like I do, or do you want to argue about it?
No, the situation in Bahrain is really bad. I mean, the people were killed by the army, unarmed people. They were just demonstrating, asking for their rights. They didn't harm anybody. They just was asking for their rights, for dignity. And they were attacked by the army, a full army, equipped army by Saudi Arabia and Bahrain, attacked unarmed civilians and killed six people yesterday.
And the UAE, okay? By the way. Don't forget, the United Arab Emirates have also sent armed people to occupy,
yes,
Bahrain.
And the United Arab Emirates and Qatar as well. The thing which happened, I mean, I want to pass a message to those armies. I mean, if you were, how can you fight unarmed people? If you want to do something, why didn't you go to fight Saddam or to free Gaza? Those armies, they're supposed to be for those reasons, not to kill innocent people or unarmed people. This is the way you want to show your victory. Is this a victory by killing people? No. This is a coward. They've been cowered by doing this act.
Nina, I've just watched a film of a Saudi sniper killing a nurse, a Bahraini nurse. And I've just watched, as the world now has, an apparently middle-aged, maybe late middle-aged man standing in the middle of the road with his hands up, his palms forward, self-evidently unarmed and being shot down by a big, brave soldier from Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, or one of these other satrapies that have now done the bidding of Saudi Arabia and the United States by entering Bahrain. I'm disgusted by them. I'm disgusted that the United Arab Emirates appears to have joined this occupation. The late and great Sheikh Zayed would never have done so. Shame on his sons that have broken with his policy of Arabism and development. Shame on them all. Nina, thank you very much. Let's go to France and talk to Hamid about the same subject. Hamid, welcome to the show.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Good evening to you, sir.
Thank you, sir. This is a very sad day. This is a very sad day in our history, and this day will be remembered. This is what is going on in Bahrain and in Libya, and all in front of the so-called Western democracies standing and watching. So, Mr. Galloway, I would like to argue that, well, I called you 2 years ago. We were talking about Obama, and I felt you were full of optimism and hope, and I argued that he was useless, and you didn't kind of believe me, but I argued he was useless, and he wasn't going to do anything, and now again, I'm saying these revolutions are hijacked, Mr. Galloway, and I argue, and I want you to argue and convince me they are not.
Well, tell me, what do you mean they're hijacked? In what way have the Bahraini revolutionaries been hijacked?
They are hijacked by American, by European.
The Americans are collaborating in the killing of the revolutionaries in Bahrain.
That's exactly what I'm arguing.
Well, that's not the same thing as hijacked. Hijacked means they've been. Listen to me. Hijacked means that the revolutions have been taken over by America. The opposite is the truth. The revolutions are being gunned down with the collaboration of America.
Well, they stole the revolution. They stole it. They stole because...
Look, get your nomenclature right. They haven't stole it. They're opposing it. And it's not over yet. The Egyptian revolutionaries are not defeated. The Tunisian revolutionaries are not defeated. The Yemeni revolutionaries are not defeated. And the Bahraini revolutionaries are not defeated. So what are you talking about? You are spreading always pessimism and defeatism, that the enemy is so great that nothing can be done, that the Americans can hijack or steal anything that they like. And that's what I object to about your political line. Let's go to Russia and talk to Mohammed on the very same subject. Mohammed, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm good. I'm filled with fire tonight, as you can tell.
Yeah, I could see that. And I really don't know what to say. The thing is that Bahrain Revolution is not like Tunisia and Egypt, I think, because the main reason is there is a new U.S. naval base there, and they would not give it up. And success of this revolution means end to that naval base of U.S. And I think and I pray that this revolution should go till Japan and take out all the U.S. Naval bases, and so that it would bring peace to the world.
Well, that's a real danger for the United States, and I was arguing that in New York yesterday, that, in fact, if you've got a naval base in a dictatorship which is massacring unarmed people, why should the people not blame you as well as the dictatorship that's gunning them down? And I asked the Americans yesterday on my new radio show, on WBAI, I asked the American public who were listening, do the Americans want to constantly be seen to be arming and politically buttressing these dictatorships? Secretary Gates gave Saudi Arabia the green light to invade Bahrain. Many in the US, many in the UN believe that a deal was done, that the Arab League supported the no-fly zone, so-called, over Libya, and in exchange, the Americans gave the Saudis permission to invade Bahrain. What do you think of that?
I think the main another thing is that all these puppet regimes, they usually play all these sectarian, all these things. And I recently saw that Hillary Clinton going to Egypt, and I think that they are always trying to, like, you know, get out of whatever they can from everywhere. Even I think that even if you give them the whole world, that's, they still are greedy.
Mm. Well, look, let's not lose optimism and hope, because they've already lost Tunisia and they've already lost Egypt, and they're not going to get either of them back, in my opinion. Though, of course, that doesn't mean they won't stop trying. Now, Zachary's an old friend of ours, isn't he? He's up in Aberdeen, wants to talk about Bahrain and Libya. Zachary, welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum, my friend.
Alaikum salam, welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much, sir. If you please let me some time and I will explain.
Well, there's a lot of callers. There's a lot of callers, Zachary.
Sorry?
So I'll give you 2 minutes. Go ahead.
You're okay then. The Bahraini people, although they are small, but they are great people. And that they will win this war, and that they will win the battle also. Also, the Gaddafi will go away. That is for sure. And also, I can assure you, the Saudi kings, they will kick out from that place, and they will go away to hell. And this is the promise by Allah, is not by this people. And Israel and America, in fact, they want several Israel. One is Israel itself, then Bahrain, then Afghanistan, then Iraq. And that they are planning a bigger plan. This is the new world order of America, that they want to control the whole world. And the whole world, they must oppose what is they are carrying out, the massacre of the noble nation of the Bahrain. The entire world must stand against them. And the Islamic world, they must send forces to oppose these savages and the Nazis against the Muslims in Bahrain.
Well,
Bahrain,
look, Zachary, I can tell that you're as wound up about this as I am. You're as emotional about it as I am. And you'd have to have a heart of stone not to be. But we have to, of course, acknowledge that many Saudi people themselves have risen up against the use of their country's armed forces to invade and occupy another in order to kill people who are arguing for the vote for democracy. This is not some socialist revolution. This is not some communist revolution. This is not some Salafist or Islamicist revolution. This is people asking for the right to vote for a government, just like other people in other countries have, and they're being gunned down. But Saudi forces have this last hour opened fire on their own people protesting in the eastern Saudi city of Qatif. protesting in support of their brothers and sisters in Bahrain. Let's go to Canada, where I was 2 days ago, and talk to Suleiman. Suleiman, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi, Mr. Galloway. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Which part of Canada are you in?
I'm from Vancouver.
Excellent. I was in Calgary, so I wasn't far from you. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, yeah. Mr. Galloway, I wanted to talk about a few things regarding Bahrain. Firstly, I want to say the whole Saudi presence there, it's what the media is saying now, is they're making this whole situation a Shia-Sunni thing, which isn't. It's not only Shia-Sunni thing, it's, there's also Sunni people who are Bahrainis, right? It's Bahrainis in general who are standing up against the government. But now, by Saudi coming to Bahrain, they're making this whole thing Iran versus Saudi and Shia versus Sunni thing, which media has obviously picked up on. So I think it was a strategic move by U.S. Gates, there, who is in Bahrain. He obviously told the Bahrainis to do and Saudis to do such a thing. And secondly, I want to talk about the people who say, how could they kill their own people? Firstly, a lot of these police officers, they're from Pakistan. If you look at if Al Jazeera was showing their cards, it says they're from Pakistan or they're from, you know, all these other countries, right?
They're mercenaries. Mercenaries.
Yes, exactly.
Like, if they were in Libya, if they were working for Gaddafi, they'd be called foreign mercenaries.
Yes. Because their own people, like the actual Bahrainis who support the government, they're not in the police. They're not lower-level police. They're all
No. That's the elite. The only people who support the Bahraini government are the richest small circle in their clique.
Exactly.
They're not down on the street shooting people. They wouldn't know how to hold a rifle.
Exactly. And Mr. Galloway, these people, they will not drop their iPods to go fight. They will not. I'm serious. I've seen it. They will not drop their iPods or their Macs that they just recently bought and it's new to them. They will not do that. And another thing I wanted to say is that let's look at this in a different way. Most of these people coming from Saudi Arabia, who raises them? It's their mothers, right? And their women are kept uneducated. When you keep women uneducated, it raises this whole society of people who don't know what's happening. So they're
Well, Suleiman, I have to stop you there because that may have been true in the past. And I'm, believe me, as bitterly an opponent of the Saudi regime as you are. But I can't allow things to pass which I know not to be true. In fact, 2/3 of the graduates of Saudi Arabia last year were female graduates. So victory to the Arab Revolution in Bahrain and everywhere. That's my slogan, but let's stick to the facts because the facts are on our side. Abdullah is in Lebanon, wants to talk about Bahrain. Abdullah, welcome to the show, my friend. Abdullah?
Good evening.
Good evening. Speak up, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, you have Abdullah with you from Lebanon.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
I agree with you, Mr. Galloway. Long live the revolution in the Arab states. And damn to Saudi Arabia, they want to play the U.S. in the Middle East.
It's a bad line. Abdullah, I don't know if you've got your television on. If you do, you have to turn the volume down to zero because we're not able to follow you very well.
Oh. Okay, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
I can. Go ahead, sir.
As I said before, long live the people, the revolutionaries of the Arab world in the Middle East. And damn to Saudi Arabia, they want to play the U.S. in the Middle East. What is going on? How can the world stand by looking at the governments killing, shooting people from their backs? There was a picture, a photo we saw on TV. Someone was shot while he was running on his back. Why? Why is this going on? What is happening to the Arabs? What is happening to the Islam? Or are we segregated?
Well, I'll tell you what, Abdullah, one of the things we're going to have to struggle against, and I appeal to everyone watching this, to struggle against this base, despicable attempt to divide the Muslims, between Sunni and Shia. The dictatorship in Bahrain is a dictatorship, not because it's Sunni. It's a dictatorship over everybody in Bahrain, except the small elite clique who've grown fat and wealthy from sucking the blood of the people and the country's wealth. This is not about Sunni and Shia. This is about freedom or slavery. You're either with slavery or you're with the slaves rising up to be free. Abdullah in Lebanon, thank you. Soher in London, on the same subject. Soher, welcome.
Assalamu alaikum, George. How are you?
Alaikum salam. Yes, I'm very angry at what I'm hearing now in my ear. Go ahead.
We are all angry, and you should see the Facebook. It's buzzing. It's just it's not catching up with what we post and what we say. This is just a criminality. There is no other question, you know, any answer to it. They are criminals. They are bloody criminals. And they should be, you know, there shouldn't be any peaceful demonstrations anymore. They should really go and get them all. They really are. What can you say? Yes,
well,
you are.
Well, if you're going to shoot down, if you're going to shoot down a man with his hands like this, and not a young man, a man probably older than me, if you're going to shoot him down live on television, what are the young people to do? Are they going to continue peacefully demonstrating, or are they going to have to take up arms to defend themselves and defend their communities? This is what these Saudi criminals are bringing down upon the masses, turning the masses against each other.
The Arabian Qatif, they are surrounding them. There is 40 tanks going now to Qatif. There is helicopters everywhere. They're scaring them to death because they want to demonstrate peacefully against what's happening in Bahrain. This is not a Muslim country. This is not a Muslim ruler.
As a matter of fact, Soher, Saud al-Faisal said just the other day, we will cut the fingers from those who interfere in our affairs just before his army invaded another country. But he also said that politics, demonstrations, manifestations of all kinds were un-Islamic and were illegal in his country. Well, if all freedom is illegal in his country, why should the rest of us have anything to do with it? Let's go to East Anglia. Don't think we've been there before. Talk to Juveria on the Middle East. Juveria, welcome.
Hello, hello, George. Peace
Did I get your name right?
Peace be on you.
Thank you.
And peace be on all the good people of the world.
Thank you.
I just want to ask something. Democracy, we hear a lot about this word democracy. Could you please define it?
I would define it thus, that the people choose their form of government and their governors and are able to remove them. It's really simple. It can be different forms of that, but these are its fundamentals, that no one is governed by anyone whom they did not have a chance to choose and cannot remove. What about you? What do you think about that?
Because if you look all over the world, yes, in some countries in the West, we're called democratic countries. We get a chance to put a cross in a box. But do we really have a say? Do we really have a say in where our country goes and invades? They call it a war. What say do we have? And it's just...
Well, there are severe limitations to our democracy, which often looks more like hypocrisy than democracy. But at least we elect our government and can remove it if we can persuade our fellow citizens that what the government is doing is wrong. And we have to blame ourselves if we have failed to do that, Juveria. But our rights to do so are, at least for this period, uncontested. But in Bahrain, well, I'm afraid they're trapped in a small country, ruled by a tiny clique, elected by no one, removable by no one, and ready to bring in foreign soldiers to kill its own people in order to stay in power. I'll be back after the news with the second half of comment. It's been a raging conversation, a raging debate. I hope you'll join me in just a couple of minutes after the news. I promise you, you don't want to miss it. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV. Now, unless something changes in the next hour or two, it looks like the United Nations Security Council is going to endorse a resolution from Britain and France, an Anglo-French Sykes-Picot plan for Western military aggression against Libya. Now, it's possible that the Chinese and the Russians may veto it, but it's looking, according to the French at least, increasingly unlikely that they will do so, and that therefore, by perhaps midnight tonight, it will be the beginning of a new war in the Middle East between Western countries and an Arab government. William Spring is a spokesperson for something called Christians Against NATO Aggression. I'm not familiar with them, but William's on the webcam, and we're all going to be familiar with him pretty soon. William, thanks very much for joining us. Tell us in a nutshell, who are Christians Against NATO Aggression?
Well, George, we are now known as CANA UK, but our original name was Christians Against NATO Aggression. We were established some years ago, campaigning initially over the Yugoslav War. But the point is, the Blair Wars just continued. After 1999, we then got Iraq, and then we got Afghanistan. We had Sierra Leone, which was a minor thing to do with diamonds, but still a war of aggression. And now we've got another threat of a war in Libya. Meanwhile, we've got a situation in Bahrain whereby American surrogate troops are being used to quell a legitimate political protest. I mean, the Saudis are acting actually for Robert Gates. They're not acting on their own. They've acted because Washington has told them to do so, just as the Ugandans and the Ethiopians have acted in Somalia as surrogate troops for the United States. And it's an appalling situation. It's double standards throughout. Now, regarding Libya, I think that we, the British and the French, have absolutely no, to use a legal term, locus standi, no standing to actually impose any no-fly zone. All we have is a record of aggression, imperialism, and deceit. Deceit not only against the Arab masses, but against the British people. And this is another Cameron-type, Blair-type, cloned version of the Iraq War. I don't know whether, George, you remember, there was a chap called Lord Birkenhead, previously F.E. Smith, and I think it was G.K. Chesterton said something like, "Chuck it, Smith." And I think Cameron should chuck it. I mean, I am a Conservative. I did stand, as a matter of fact, as a councillor in the local elections. But I certainly do not want to see Britain involved in a civil war between two regions of Libya, one Cyrenaica, the other Tripolitania. I mean, I'm all in favour and in sympathy with liberation, wherever it is. And but I do not think the British or the Americans, and certainly not the Americans, have any right whatsoever to intervene.
Well, I think that was very clear. And as a Conservative and a Christian, you're most welcome in your ire against NATO aggression. And let me take you back to what we were, I think, both therefore saying in 99, that the attack on Yugoslavia would be followed by attacks on others, that the attack on Afghanistan would be followed by an attack on Iraq, that the attack on Iraq would be followed by an attack on Iran, which mercifully hasn't happened yet, but which they're constantly threatening. And that attack after attack after attack would merely beget more attacks, because the validation of the right of Western imperialist countries to try to seize either direct control or indirect control through puppets, the wealth and the resources of the East and the Muslim world, was going to be contested, was going to generate hatred against us across the world. So we were right, William, when we opposed the war in Yugoslavia, because we knew it would all lead to this.
It's the template of the wars that carried on into the noughties, into the after 2000. It had no UN resolution, demonised the leader. There were a series of spurious atrocities committed, and mostly by actually one of those massacres was arranged by William Walker, who was the El Salvador consul for the United States of America, who ran death squads in Central America before he moved across to the Balkans. So,
my goodness, you don't sound like a conservative to me, William. I think you're going to have to review that. But nonetheless, let me ask you now, if this resolution passes tonight, this Anglo-French, this Sykes-Picot resolution to authorize military attacks, because it's no longer a no-fly zone resolution, as you'll know, they've added the right to attack any and all places, installations, people and things in Libya into this resolution. If this passes tonight, when can we expect the first Western attack on Libya?
I don't know what their operational details are, but this is something that has clearly been planned for a long time. I mean, we could have attacks beginning immediately. We have no knowledge of what their plans are, but the no-fly zone is an entirely illegal construct. I mean, we should get back to the basic principle of international law, which is actually non-intervention. And Chapter 7 resolutions can only be done with the full support and endorsement of the Security Council. And I ask Russia and China to veto any resolution against Libya tonight.
Well, they might do so, but the French are currently claiming that the resolution is going to go through. So they may be bluffing, or they may know something that you and I don't know. But China and Russia should know that one day these kind of things will be used against them. That these kind of devices to support separatism and the breaking up of their countries will be used against them, don't you think? Can't they see that?
But can I just go back briefly to Bahrain? I just feel very grieved and upset by what the Americans are doing in Bahrain. I used to travel over that bridge from the KSA regularly, and I tell you, I always had a great sense of freedom, relative freedom, arriving in Bahrain compared to Saudi Arabia a few years ago. Now, peculiarly enough, Robert Gates seems to be seeking to import into Bahrain the Wahhabi Mutawa of Saudi Arabia. Now, this isn't Western liberalism that Robert Gates stands for. It's some form of fascism. And I think Robert Gates's record is terrible. I mean, he's the one who's incarcerated Bradley Manning. He's the one who's put Julian Assange into a honey trap of sorts, or supposedly. He keeps Guantanamo Bay open. He's a total disgrace to conservatives.
Yeah, and of course he was the Bush secretary before he was Obama's. William Spring from Christians Against NATO Aggression. Quite a find, I think. I'm not sure how conservative he is. I think I'll convert him. William, thanks very much for joining us. We've got so many people on the line, I really have to press on. Let's go to Blair in London on Bahrain. I hope I've got your name right, Blair.
My name is Mr. Hussain.
Go ahead, sir.
First of all, I welcome you to come up. I appreciate what you are doing, helping for innocent people in Bahrain, all over the world.
Thank you.
And I am very sorry what Saudi Arabia has done to attack on Bahrain, innocent people. Why that this army did not come out when the Palestinian people were dying? They are American puppet. Their days are numbered now. Inshallah.
Yeah, I believe that they have lit a touch paper.
Yeah.
Which will explode in their own faces in their own country. And you see what's happening in Qatif just this evening. Thanks for that. Let's go to Hussein in London on Saudi Arabia and Bahrain. Hussein, welcome to the show. Hussein, are you there? Hassan, I beg your pardon. Go ahead. Hassan? Neither Hussein nor Hassan appear to be there. We're talking, of course, about the situation in Bahrain, talking about the debate that's going on right at this minute in the Security Council, which may well authorize Western attacks on Libya as early as the early hours of the coming morning. You may wake up or you may go to Friday prayers with Western aeroplanes bombarding, killing in Libya. Another Western Arab war whose consequences, of course, are unforeseeable. Rashida is on the line. Let's talk to her. She's in London, about Bahrain. Rashida, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Brother George.
Thanks.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My brother and my Salahuddin, we call him my brother in Islam.
Thank you.
For the whole world, actually, not just for the Islam world, because Islam actually stands for humanity, really. And I tell you, my brother, I am so and utterly disgusted with this despicable Saudi regime, the traitors and dictators of the of that part of the world, whatever they are doing, sending their soldiers, these armies who had the victory sign, who were in these big armored vehicles against protesters who were totally unarmed, was so disgusting. If I felt like that, and I tell you, there is nothing like Sunni or Shia. This is just a picture they want to give, a very, very dirty picture they want to portray to the world. Who are they deceiving and who are they trying to kid? Alhamdulillah, you have opened the eyes of so many people in the world through this channel that people know the truth. These people can no longer hide behind this curtain of Shia and Sunni.
Well, that's right, Rashida. Other stations, naming no names, appear to have limited cameramen suddenly in Bahrain. But Press TV is telling the truth about these revolutions, whether most of the people in them are Sunnis or whether most of the people in them in another place are Shia. Press TV is telling the truth and without fear or favor. It's not the case everywhere, I'm sorry to say. This criminal Saudi regime, dripping in blood, dripping in corruption, dripping in sick hypocrisy, is surely doomed. That's my view. If you're a big supporter of Al Saud, please, please, please call me up. I really, really would like to talk to you. Zaman in London wants to talk about the revolution and the arms industry. Zaman, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Good evening, sir.
It's a very, very noble job you are doing. It's only, as you have just said, the Press TV who's keeping, you know, this information flowing. Otherwise, you won't hear. These things have been going on for ages, Mr. Galloway, in the Middle East, and especially in the Saudi Arabia, but it's controlled so, you know, ruthlessly, and they're still controlling so ruthlessly. But luckily, the Press TV and you guys are, you know, keeping highlighting the injustices. Now, as far as the revolution, Mr. Galloway, is concerned, we know historically most revolutions in the name of democracy have not achieved. It takes brave and courageous protesters to make a revolution, but it takes citizens to make a democracy. I'm sorry to say, but I think it's the music to the ears of the West what's happening in the Middle East, because another 50 years they will be controlled by the West. I hope this revolution or uprising keep on and on, and they find some leader like Khomeini, like Mao Zedong, like, you know, some leader with some kind of, you know, theory.
I know, Zaman, you've got a leadership fetish, my friend. Leaders are produced on the streets of the revolutions. Just because we don't know their names or because they haven't written a tract, a Marxist-Leninist tract on a pathway to revolution, doesn't mean that they're not leaders. Trust me, on the streets of Yemen, where day after day now for months the people have been facing the armed forces of the dictator, they're leaders. They don't need some theoretician, some great theoretician, to call himself their leader. Let's talk to Mohammed in Bahrain, on Bahrain. Mohammed, welcome to the show.
Hello, Mr. Galloway.
You're welcome.
Yes,
speak up, sir.
Go ahead.
You're on the air.
Please give you the other side of the story. You have to know, I am in Bahrain. I know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
What we have in Bahrain, whether you like it or not, it is a sectarian issue. And I will give you the facts. The fact is, the 45% of the parliament who are Shia, they resign. The rest of the parliament who are voted for elected, the Sunnis, none of them resigned. Some Shia ministers, they resigned. The Sunnis, zero of them resigned. You have the GCC force in Bahrain is only here against any Iranian threat, whether you know it or not. I'm sorry. Iranian officials officially stated last year that Bahrain is the 14th government of Iran. Why don't you show the hundreds of people executed in Iran? Look, as beautiful as a revolution sounds, not everywhere where you have protests, it is a revolution. There is exactly only a sectarian issue in Bahrain. What we have is Shias who want to overthrow the Sunni regime. The Sunnis will not allow it. Simple as that. If you want reforms, yes, the Sunnis are ready for reforms. They called Shias for dialogue. They gave them their hands open. The crown prince opened his hands. For 1 month, they did not come to dialogue. In fact, they first started peaceful protests, but with time, they made it more violent.
Enough. I think I've given you enough time. In English, we have a saying that I've given you enough rope and you just hanged yourself. You're either a member of the tiny ruling elite in Bahrain, although if you were, you'd probably be in a casino or a bordello in the West somewhere by now. So it's more likely that you're a stooge, that you're a factotum of that regime. The GCC force that you refer to as being in Bahrain, occupying your country against an Iranian threat, I saw them kill two people just today. One of them was a late middle-aged, overweight civilian man standing with his hands like this, entirely unarmed, and I saw him killed by the GCC. He was not an Iranian. He was not an Iranian threat. He was not any kind of threat at all. Now, you talk to me about a parliament which is a farce, which has no power of any kind. The Al Khalifa dictatorship rules your country. Whether the parliament is 45, 55, 49, 51, or as it used to be, 75, 25. The decisions and the power belong to the Khalifa killers who've just brought foreign armies armed by America into your country to kill your fellow Bahrainians, who, I remind you, are Muslims, Muhammad, just like you. So American weapons fired by Saudi soldiers to kill Bahrainis who are Muslims just like you, and you have the nerve to come on television. But mind you, we can't see your face, because if we could, shame would be written all over it. Let's see if Ahmad in Bahrain has got anything better to say. Ahmad, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mr. George. It's great speaking to you.
Go ahead.
First of all, I'd like to say that I really, really admire your speeches, and I have been a great follower of you for 4 or 5 years.
Thank you, sir.
I almost agree with 99.9% of your previous speeches and your previous political ideas. I'd have to respectfully, though, say that I do disagree on a few points about Bahrain, maybe especially since I'm living in Bahrain. First of all, I'm not one of the elite. I don't have an elite class in Bahrain. I'm a normal citizen, and I myself have not found a job for approximately 2 years, and I would not mind a better standard of living, a better education, free healthcare, a sense of security, an elected government, and all of those basic human rights that all citizens around the world want. The matter of fact is that this was a purely Shiite revolution. If it was not, I would be standing with them.
Well, if it is, then it's shame on you that you didn't join it. Don't you see that? But you've just described the situation, my friend.
How can you join a revolution that is based on a... That is based on a religious ideology.
No, it's not at all based on a religious ideology. No, it isn't. This is false propaganda. The revolution is demanding an end to the royal dictatorship in the country. Why can't you support that? What's Shiite about that? Why should you support a royal dictator just because he's a Sunni like you? Why?
No, I don't support.
Well, join the revolution to get rid of him.
No, I would not mind an elected government. But this was
you would not mind an elected government. Well, let's bank that. It's not exactly unequivocal, but let's bank it. You're not going to get an elected government as long as you've got a dictator. And you're complaining that the people giving their lives to get rid of the dictator are, you say, all Shiite. I happen to know that they're not all Shiite because I'm in touch with them on almost a daily basis. Many of them are not Shiite. But if, insofar as most of them are Shiite, shame on you that you're sitting at home wishing for an elected government, but not ready to go out on the street and actually fight for one. I don't know what's wrong with you people. Ali in London on Bahrain. Ali, go ahead.
George.
Yes.
George, basically, I just want to say we should not fall for the sectarian propaganda from the Western Zionist-controlled media. These people do not care whether we are Sunni or Shiite. This is a mafia that wants to divide the people who want to be free and
exactly.
don't want to sell their country for a few weak U.S. dollars.
Yeah.
The truth is, America is scared of any threat to the petrodollar. America is scared
Ali,
of
that Ali, do you think that Robert Gates is a follower of the Sunnah? You think Robert Gates cares whether somebody's a Sunni or a Shia?
They don't care. They're just scared that these Gulf nations will team up with Iran and sell their oil and gas for something other than weak paper, basically. That's what they're scared that they might demand euros like Saddam Hussein did. And if you remember what happened to Saddam, he was their little puppet when he was sent into Iran. And when he went into Kuwait, they betrayed him. They should remember these things. And these are the modern-day pharaohs, and they're all full. I'm Sunni myself, but I support the Bahraini people.
Excellent, Ali. Thanks for that. I'm sorry to cut you short, because I want the last word to be to a woman in Bahrain. It's Fatima in Bahrain on Bahrain. Fatima, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hello, hi.
Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about my point of view. Okay, you guys are looking one side of view. And you're ignoring the 300,000 people who are with the government. And I don't know what kind of information you're getting. Did you see the video of the dead body, which was the police dead body was laying on the floor, and the Shia protesters were kicking him and throwing rocks.
Well, you're giving it away again, you see, Fatima. Shia, you're seeing these visions in front of your eyes. Why don't you open your Quran and read it and understand it and know how wrong you are? I'll be back next week, God willing.
Hello, just comment your name and location and that number. And just make sure your television volume is set to 0.
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know.